Good evening. I'd like to call this joint meeting of the Reedy City Council and the Alta Irrigation District Board to order. The time right now, it looks like is 6:01. We're going to start with a roll call, but what we're going to do, that's kind of how we're going to introduce ourselves. I'll start out, and the council will introduce themselves, and we'll turn it over to the board, let you guys introduce yourself. My name is Robert Beck. I'm the mayor of City of Reedy. I've been in this community for over 40 years. I'm a former employee of the city. I'm retired, and I've been on the council for approximately 3 years. Mayor Pro Tem.
Ray Salino. I've been on the council for almost 25, 26 years. Parks and Recreation for 6 years, 36 years for Lake and Bay Blue, and looking forward to nice meetings.
My name's Mary Fast. I've been on this council for starting my eighth year, and my other job is an accounting at Kings River Packing in Sanger. And I have lived in Reedy all my life, and that's probably
Rick Rodriguez, retired educator, first term on the council. And my new job, and the job that I like the most, is being a grandparent. I'm enjoying it.
Irma Padilla, I'm the controller at Alta Irrigation District, and I'm here to take the minutes. I've been with the district 17 years, but I was born and raised in Reedy.
I'm Jerry Halford. I live in Sultana, or near Sultana. I've been on the board about 12 years. Do you have any idea?
I'm Jim Wigley, an engineer for the district.
Chris Capline, general manager, been with the district since 1983.
Tom Marshall, been with the district since 1990, 27 years.
John Callender, been with the district for 6 years, something like that. Reside in Dinuba my whole life.
Jack Grant, I've been with the district as a board member for about 4 years. Lived in Reedy my whole life.
Dan Astiswing, been with the district for 8 years. Lived in Reedy all my life.
I'm Ken Schmidt. I'm from Fresno. I'm a groundwater hydrologist. I've worked on all the city wells since about the 1980s. We also work on monitoring over at the wastewater facility, dealing with the regional water quality board and things like that.
Nicole Ziva, city manager here for the city of Reedy. I've been in the city of Reedy for about 3 years, but in local government, working water, wastewater, all sorts of issues like that for about 20 years now. Unbelievable to say that, by the way, but about 20 years now. And just a quick note of thanks for being willing to hold a joint meeting with us. I think it's partnership is powerful, so thank you very much for being here.
I'm Kevin Fabino. I'm the community development director, and I've been with the city going on 2 years. Really enjoyed my tenure here, love Reedy, and I've been in government service for 20 plus years, and really enjoyed it, and I also want to express my gratitude. I have thoroughly enjoyed working with Chris. It's just been fantastic to put this project together that we're going to talk about tonight. So.
And we skipped one, sorry.
Scott Cross, I'm the city attorney for the city of Reedy.
Okay. We do have a member that is not here. Anita Betancourt is absent at this time.
And I believe the irrigation district has one member.
We have two that are not here.
And that would be?
John Cron. And the president, Norman Walder.
Yeah, and just a little bit about the district in terms of its makeup on the board as you're tasked. We're the only district in California, irrigation district, that has 7 board members. We had changed the law to do that. The water code allows you to have 3 or 5. And then we had, we created elected districts in the city of Reedley and in the city of Dinuba when we redid all of our boundaries 10 years or so ago. And so, like John, I think, actually represents the city, the inner part of the city of Dinuba. And John Cron represents the inner part of the city of Reedley. Mm-hmm. Kind of a unique hybrid, but it, it's real.
Okay. Moving on, we have a workshop tonight that's presentation and discussion, and I'm going to turn that over to Kevin.
So what I'd like to do for the benefit of both the board and the council is briefly run through kind of a little bit of the history of the project, how we got here, and turn it over to Chris, let Chris talk about how this fits into Alta's plans and the benefits that it can provide to them. We'll ask Ken to give us a little bit of information as to benefits, potential benefits of the project, and then we'll kind of finish up with grant opportunities and working together in the future. So kind of historically, you know, I've had the privilege of appearing before the board. I've had a lot of discussion with the council. Basically, a couple things that, you know, have happened historically. In December of last year, we asked the board to consider working on a joint project with us. At that time, we were going through our general plan update. We've always been concerned about the environment and have a great track record in the city of Reedley about really being good stewards. And we knew that groundwater recharge was going to be important to the city in terms of sustainability for our surrounding farmers, as well as just good policy for the city. That resulted in a number of general plan policies that are, you know, quite good with respect to the city's actions, intents, and things that we're putting in place today to implement those policies, preserve the groundwater as best as we can. So with that in mind, Chris and I have been meeting over several months. We had made a quick presentation before the board. We talked about this project, which at that time, you may recall, kind of the big goal was to be able to have about what turns out to be about 40 acres of land that would be purchased for the purpose of benefiting both the city with respect to groundwater recharge, as well as a facility that AID could also use. And that being said, you've got a piece of paper in front of you that really talks specifically about the city's intent. The top left-hand, very vibrant color, which is attached, is a piece of property that the city is really buying this whole piece, but we'll be selling off the colored pieces because we also have other interests in the city that we're trying to accomplish and address their interests. One happens to be a local business. Our fire department is in need of a training center and kind of, if you will, a substation. But that being said, the remainder of the blue, which represents about 29 acres, is really the focus of the meeting that we want to jointly develop that 29 acres. We're pretty happy that we think we're going to be able to do it. We've acquired, we're actually in escrow for a good portion of the property, and we'll be finalizing, hopefully, our agreements very quickly for the remainder of the property, so we'll be secured in that way. I cannot, again, reiterate how great it's been working with Chris. I'm not a groundwater specialist, nor a hydrologist, nor an engineer, but I really appreciated all the meetings that we've had, trying to think this thing through. How does it work for the city? How can it work for Alta? How does it fit into Alta's plans? How does it help the city achieve its general plan goals, which are extremely important to the city, and things that we are implementing as we speak? So we're pretty pleased we've been able to kind of assemble all the land and really be ready to start moving on to the next phase. So that being said, if I can just turn it over to Chris.
Yeah, we've, I have a map right here under the one, the colored map. And this one depicts just kind of some of the how things interconnect in our system. You can see up at the north end, Watoki Lake and the Main Canal. You have the east and west Reedley shown coming down, going to the Reedley Pond. And then coming from the pond, you see some kind of a pinkish orange color, and actually those are the A.D. Clark and the McBriar, which tie in to other facilities downstream. So it's a fully integrated system. I guess our role in this process is to look at water and to make sure that we're good stewards and the water is being used in a manner for beneficial use, and look at how to do that. Originally, we discussed, you know, trying to keep the water, you know, from so it can be recharged, and to look at a kind of a master plan and how to do that. And so we did a very similar project in Dinuba, about the same size as this one. And I remember when Kevin first came on, I went and showed him that one. Because it's very similar template as this one, and you know, Dinuba was having issues where they had all these little bitty ponds all over the place, and people didn't like them; they weren't being maintained. And we looked at bringing it into a regional area so that the water could be used in an efficient manner. So similar to what we have here. So that's our kind of part in it. We like the way it fits into our system, we would have to do the look at the geology and some of those factors that I think Ken's going to talk about in a minute, and probably what we typically do when we develop the recharge site is we do some test wells. You don't know until you drill the site and just test how those below stratas are and make sure, you know, the site doesn't have restricted layers and things like that. That's something that we would look at doing, very near future to know what the initial capability of recharging is. And so anyway, that's kind of our perspective, and I think our board is up to speed on the project, and we appreciate the joint efforts in working with other public agencies to solve these types of problems.
Okay.
When we look at sites for recharge, we do it about the same way we did when I first went to work 45 years ago. And I went to work in Arvin in late 1964 when they were developing their spreading works and well fields for the Arvin Edison Water District. But what we do in looking at areas is get the driller's logs first. So we've, the IDs Chris has provided to me, the driller, I had most of them in Reedley already, but down in this area I didn't. So he provided those. And these are very good descriptions of the subsurface, and some of the most important things are where hard pan layers are. And a lot of these wells were drilled by the cable tool method, so the famous cable tool driller in the valley, Bill Belknap, has been really drilled a lot of these wells, so they show precisely where things like hard pans are. If we do storm basins, it's common because we want some storage space in there for the storms to dig out any hard pans and dig them out like probably at least 10 or 15 feet. If you've driven around Fresno, Fresno didn't start using storm basins until about the mid-1960s. I used to be a student at Fresno State when you drove and lived in Madera and drove down Shaw Avenue, like Palm and Ayrather Street, water used to stand 2 or 3 feet high in the intersection. That's when they were trying to use in the old days dry wells. It's just a big casing they put rock in and it plugged up with oil and everything else off the street. So in the mid-60s, Fresno went to basins. We, many of them are dug down 20 feet, 30 feet, maybe 40 feet, and below the hard pans. What we do with those basins in the summer is about half of them are ball fields and half of them are recharge facilities for the canal water. So what they did historically was work with the Fresno Irrigation District and hook up the basins that were closest to the canals and so on. So that's worked real good there. So we've kind of looked at the driller's logs in this area. There may be some hard pans under this site. At some point, we're planning to do borings not too distant in the future to learn more about that. Right across the river from this facility, almost due west, is the wastewater plant where you probably know we have about 12 or 15 monitor wells out there. Some are adjacent to the river and some are a quarter of a mile or further away from the river. So it's very comparable, the more distance monitor wells we have to where this facility would be. The shallowest water levels we've had on the west side are about 20 feet deep in the monitor wells. And Chris supplied a lot of the ALT ID measurements for wells around here, and they show virtually the same thing, that the shallowest water level's been about 20 feet deep. It's considerably deeper right now, I might add. So we think that this is a good process to the overall process to recharge the storm runoff. Instead of putting it in the river, it's more beneficial to the local groundwater, and also to work on these recharge facilities with the district to keep some surface water in this area when sedimentized. And so that's my spiel.
I will say there will be one of the reasons we go through this due diligence and look at everything. There will be a grant application process next year. We know that. It'll be the final round of Prop 84. You have to check out all the geohydro parts of it in order to meet the application requirements. But assuming that those meet those standards, there's different aspects to it. Generally, there's an environmental part of it, and Kevin and I have talked about some environmental enhancements, whether it's the rails, the trails, or something. But you'll want that tied, because you'll have to have an environmental benefit tied to the project, and that's a benefit for the city to get some of their parts of their projects funded. Jim Wegley does a lot of the design work, and maybe you can comment just a little bit about how you would look at it from a design perspective.
Yeah, we've been successful in the past on getting some grant applications for projects that Chris has mentioned. And again, they're multi-facet type projects where you want to encompass groundwater recharge. And they also, the previous applications required you had groundwater extraction too at the same site. And so what we've done on these particular projects, we've found areas of good soils where we could achieve good recharge. And then we have extraction wells where we can pump the water out, put it in a ditch, and run it downstream to meet downstream demands. So you don't have to take the water so far. And we always leave at least 15% of the water that's recharged behind. And then that can vary, but that's the minimum that we use. And then we're able to achieve a credit for this water, and it helped us develop a new water supply that we're looking at utilizing for a surface water treatment plant to serve the northeast part of Tulare County, which has severe quality problems. So that's a big part of the project. But then in addition to that, you want to have flood control benefits, because you get more points for that. So that's why you're trying to encompass storm water into it. You want to have environmental aspects of it. Each one of these categories gives you points, and that's how you're ranked. So if you don't have one of those particular categories, in the past you could either be determined ineligible, or you may not get any points for that, and so you wouldn't score as well. So we try to hit all the individual points. Disadvantaged communities, you get points for that. So there's a lot of elements that you try to encompass. It's pretty detailed. Well, it's more than detailed. It's a lot big volume of paperwork that's required to develop all the criteria that the state has when they go through and do their ranking.
Yeah, and our strategy is to try to reduce pumping, and the surface water treatment plant will do that. That east side of our district is not sustainable long term. And some of it's due to water quality issues, some of it's due to water supply issues, aquifers aren't very good in that area. So in the future, we actually think that there will be less water pumped on that east side because we will serve surface water on that east side. And also the integration of projects like this allow us to deliver water more efficiently. And the best recharge and the quickest recharge is to eliminate pumping by delivering, be more efficient with delivering of surface water. Every pump we can turn off, it just leaves that much water in the aquifer. And so again, we've done three of these types of projects previous to this one. And again, to try to meet the goal to be more efficient and try to get to a point where we can be sustainable over the long term, because we're not there yet. And it's in all of our collective best interest to be, to reach that point where we're sustainable long term, and not have these issues that confront us when we get into these significant dry years. And we don't know that it's not gonna be dry next year. Everybody has said, well, Chris, it'll be wet next year. Well, there's no certainty it is gonna be wet next year. And we will really hurt if it is dry, but hopefully it is dry. And so anyway, that's kind of our approach, and that's what we laid out here today, how everything kind of fits together. And it truly is a regional plan where we're taking various aspects and using it for the benefit of the entire region.
Jim, if you don't mind, when do you think the grants are due? Are we talking March of next year? April, any idea?
Oh, you mean the application, when it will be out?
I don't think we know yet. It'll be next year, that's what I know, but I don't know the exact month. Haven't heard exactly when the timing's gonna be. I know this year they took it offline, and they will finish up. They'll wanna get that money, especially since they have the new bond proposal's gonna be on the ballot this winter. They'll want to get those funds that they have out there used up, and then in a couple of years start looking at the new bond. Mm-hmm.
I have routine meetings with Dave Orth and others up there in Fresno, and he was very excited. I know you all have routine meetings with him, I'm sure, as well. But he was very excited about this project from a couple different perspectives, obviously the groundwater recharge. One of the things he's been asking Reedley to do for quite some time is to put in stormwater interceptors, because they really don't like that stormwater draining off into the river as it does. So he was very excited to hear that we would be trying to capture that stormwater into this basin. And at the time he was trying to get us to do the stormwater interceptors, he kept saying there's grant money. So we're very excited about this project because I think the monies are available. We meet so many different goals that people have for us. So we're going to continue to meet with Dave Orth routinely about every other month. We have a meeting scheduled just to keep him updated on where we are with this project, in hopes that our grant application will just fly right through when we submit it. So.
And our goal, we have a board meeting on the 4th, and we will, at that time, we're getting costs together to do the drilling, and then we will have that and probably approve that drilling on the 4th, so that the following week we can go ahead and bring a test well driller in there and test those areas on this site, just to make sure how whether there is hard pan and how the soils are in there. So that will happen pretty quick.
Is there any issues as far as access? We have right to access.
I have expressed access rights to all the properties.
And our neighbors to the north, Palm Village, they are very aware of this project, very excited about this project. And in fact, the one orange patched area up here that Kevin didn't mention is being set aside for potentially some senior related activities with Palm Village. So they're very excited, and I think that's helpful, so we're not going to run into any issues with neighbor problems, essentially.
And what's interesting, I know we did the Dineva one, we had hardpan 600 feet, 800 feet both ways. We had similar type issues, but we there was like an old stream bed that went through there. And where we put the project, and this one also has Tahunga sand, which we'll have to check. But on that one, we hit pure sand all the way down in that project. But you go not too far away, and of course, the hard pans were in there. So that's why the drilling is important to verify, just to make sure that, it does do what you need to have it do. And so, like I said, that'll happen pretty quick.
Back in the 60s, you had a canal that I believe it's the same one that runs through the south part of Weaver, and it cut off from Frankfurt and it went west to Church Avenue. And
was that the Peck, the one that went comes out of Duff Avenue?
That was back in the 60s, and that canal was open at the time. Then when the development was built just west of Church Avenue, it was a Carpenter subdivision, and that canal was open and it covered for new development, and it went under my property and went south. And I think this is the same one, and went south, and it helped the city. But my question is, as we expand, there was some kind of a question that we were concerned about covering these canals because there's no percolation back down into the river.
Our philosophy in the district, and every district has a different philosophy.
Right.
But ours is the liability, large open canals in the cities. We feel that in high urban concentrations, we have policies to try to address the liability issue. When I first came to work for the district, I was sitting in my office one day and I got a call and said, there's water running down, and it was this ditch and it broke. And it was near Church Avenue, and there was water running right through the city of Reedley. This was in the 80s. And you don't want big open canals running through neighborhoods and things like that. People that have them, they're a liability problem. So our philosophy, but you do lose recharge. There's no question when you pipe the ditch, you cut off recharge. But we think we can look at, put basins in and put them in where they work. And that's why we like this project, where you can, find spots that recharge and then use them. But we do require, when you have a parcel, that if you have less than 10 acres adjacent to the ditch, that triggers the pipe the ditch. And we've done that so people don't put little strips next to the ditch so they don't have to pipe it. We've had that happen before. And so, like in Reedley, we've piped most ditches. Dinuba, we've piped most of the ditches. And we've absolved a lot of our liability problems. Yeah, in the country, we still have the open ditches, and that's still an issue. But again, we do what we can to try to address those liability issues. We have had drownings in our canals. It's the worst thing that can possibly happen.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's the worst thing that can possibly happen.
Chris, Ken had mentioned something about the ponding basins in Fresno, about half of them being ball fields at certain times of the season. Is there any opportunity that this particular set of basins might do that same multi-use?
That's something I think that is possible. I mean, again, you have to look at all the joint benefits and use and how to best utilize the site. I mean, other areas do that. Dinuba, has some of those as well, and recharge sites that have a dual purpose.
So
the people evaluating the grant, wouldn't they look at something like that?
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to be using it for recreation.
The more benefits you can put in there, I mean, those are all things that have to be weighed from an efficiency standpoint of use of the land versus, those types of things. And those will be all the discussions that we try to optimize all the benefits we can.
Would you be able to put a ball field on these sites without piping that ditch?
You know, again.
Yeah, you have configuration problems here.
Yeah, here you do.
I mean, if you had the whole blue area, that's, what's the intent?
Yeah, that's the intent.
To the south, you could, if you're just on the north side.
But the south, the south?
South side may be potential, yeah.
One of the ways it worked out in Fresno is, you know, they did an economic evaluation about which basins are the cheapest to hook up to the FID canal. The ones that don't get hooked up because they're too far away, those are prime candidates for park. Don't recharge canal water there. So it kind of works itself out if you, once you get big enough and everything, I think that'll work out.
We looked at a lake here, you know, back in 2005, Quarrying was going to put a lake, was going to put a, some of you that were around at that time, there was going to be a subdivision at this time. We worked long and hard until the economy fell. And so there was always going to be a water feature on this corner. It's unusual when you have two canals like this one come, and it's kind of an odd configuration. And we do move a lot of water through this facility. This one that comes through on a diagonal, it's a large facility. We have two pipes that go right through the city of Reedley. And south of here, the A.B. Clark and the McGuire, both of them real sandy ground, and we push a lot of water through there. So they're very important features. But we can move a lot of water with that facility, so that this type of project lends itself to that facility.
Chris, what you mentioned was like, you know, whatever you enhance or whatever you're trying to build, it's like viewed as like from a region staff point of view, and which is great. But this grant is a competitive grant, right? Just like anything else. So I guess when we're talking region, I mean, it's like the valley or certain pieces of the state, you know, they miss out on grant opportunities or projects because, for whatever reason, you know, whether it's north or south of us, they have, politically speaking, more muscle or what have you, more representation. So
what has the muscle today is the disadvantaged communities. It's what's driving the political process right now. The positive thing on this one is it's integrated to our system. Part of the benefits will be created for that purpose, and all will be able to be used in this project. It will help this project score high.
So, and with that in mind, if and so, we want to be, don't get the grant, what type of hiccup does it set us up for?
You know, we've never not received the grant. I mean, the ones we really went for, we've been able to package it and get them. I guess I never look at it that I'm not going to get it, because I think if you do, you go crazy. I look at it positive that if you do the right engineering and geohydrology analysis that we will do, we don't do anything unless we're thorough. We look at the regional benefits, which we know score very well. We look at the environmental benefits to make sure we have an environmental component. We look at the grant to make sure that we're going to score well, and we have. And I think that's how we would approach it. There's a risk because whenever you put something together this complex, it's a lot of work and effort and some funding to get it in place. But you're looking at a substantial benefit for some thousands of dollars. You're getting several million-dollar project. It's a big plus to the.
And when you talk about disadvantaged communities, so it's not just like Wheatley per se, right? It's every other.
No, I mean
community that kind of.
There's a disadvantaged communities and there's super disadvantaged communities. in our district, we have both. And especially on the east side, they're really struggling right now. And I mean, the governor's office is calling us, and we've got to solve these problems. And there's projects like this that enhances the groundwater management and takes water from going into the river and puts it, you know, in here, and that can basically enhance that ability to address those issues. We're the only ones that can do it. I mean, the state, they can talk and everything, but they can't solve these problems. We have to solve it here, and we can. In the water bond, we have language in there that benefits Alta. We helped write it, to give us $20 million to build the surface water treatment plant. They've never had $20 million on a grant for a regional type project. This is unprecedented. So, you know, I don't know if the bond's going to pass. I think it will, the way it's structured right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be likely, if it does pass the ballot this fall, how we will fund our drinking water improvements on our east side.
You talked also about, you know, the pumping that occurs. You're trying to reduce that as much as possible. Yeah. Some of the stuff that I've been reading, like what's happened in certain geographic areas in the state, and just comparing like the west side to the east side over here.
We're different.
We're different, huh? Because it seems like what they've done over there is really having a tremendous impact on the ground, on the earth.
They have a Corcoran clay, starts about Highway 99, and they have a whole different geohydral relationship than we do here. We have relatively shallow groundwater, our goal is to get the groundwater pumping and the water supplies we have with projects like this, and more of them we can do, to get to a point where we reach a long-term balance. I think we were 22,000 acre feet.
Yeah, that was about, you know,
25
years ago.
Yeah, we did a study and looked at how far we were out of balance, and each of these projects will add a yield and start addressing our imbalance. But as we reduce pumping on our east side, start increasing balance, supply, and other ones, we reach an integrated process where, you know, our hope is within 20 years, well, we're going to be required on groundwater management. In 20 years, we're going to have to be in balance. We think we can. But again, this is going to be the Dinuba and Reedley and Tulare County and Fresno County. This is working together to find local solutions that can solve these problems. But we don't have the deep groundwater, you know, that other areas have, where they have wells that are 1,000 feet or something like that. Our issues are, we have relatively shallow groundwater. We have a lot of polluted groundwater. We have communities that have groundwater, but they can't drink it. And so our issues are kind of different on the east side. They're solvable, but they're different than other areas.
You know, we get to a point where we can't do these problems individually. We have to get together to solve the problems. Because, you know, take care of the problem that each one of us has. One of my concerns right now is politics and the individual represents the west side. And the science is that it's the farmers on the east side that create the problem for the west side farmers. And that would be fine. But he never said, welcome to the problem. So we have to take care of our own side.
You know, we look at our district as kind of a regional benefit area. We're fortunate that we have a historical water supply.
Sure.
We will do anything to protect that water supply. It's very valuable. It's the future for this whole region and area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what we have to learn is just how to make the enhancements where we improve it so that, you know, in the future we have things that are sustainable that aren't necessarily sustainable now. If we can do that, I think we need to test.
Sure.
If we don't, I think bad things will happen to us in the state or somebody else. And so that's only going to happen through parties working with each other and sitting down just like this and trying to work these things out. They're not easy, but you know, that's the process you have to do.
Okay. And I believe that this project that we're looking at now is an event for the cemetery.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of ancillary benefits to this project, including the cemetery across the street that would like to expand, but it is held up by a storm drain that it does not have the money to move, and so this actually helps the cemetery as well, which is nice. So, lots of good ancillary benefits from this project. You know, Chris, going back to what you're saying about 20 years, you expect we will all have to be in balance. In our general plan, you know, I think Reedley does have a history of being of having good natural resource stewardship. Particularly this last general plan process, we reduced our sphere of influence. We drew back, which is unusual for a city, right? Most cities want to see if they can grow their way to prosperity. We're trying to be prosperous with what we have and pull back our sphere of influence. Are we seeing that the other cities and areas within your jurisdiction, are they looking at doing similar things? Are they?
You know, I've seen where I had subdivisions set for subdivisions, and now it's in Almonds. You know, I mean, I've seen some funny things where, in terms of the value of land, that I've never seen before. So I think that 2008 was a wake-up call, mm-hmm. And I think that we're not seeing the expansiveness that we certainly saw before that. Before that, we were going crazy with just, you know, with the expansion. Now it seems more rational, and I think people also look at the cost of providing all the services that, you know, I think things have slowed down quite a bit.
Well, that honestly was a huge driver for us, is that cost of services, the cost of maintenance of infrastructure, street paving, all of those types of things, police service, fire service. So it wasn't just the natural resource stewardship, but resources overall, taxpayer resources. Lots of things came into play with drawing back that sphere. So I just wondered if others were looking like we were looking at Dinuba, Tulare, if others are.
I think anything slowed down significantly.
That's good to know.
Is there anything else?
I like to appreciate the dinner. It was nice, and appreciate that we don't do these joint workshops too often. We've done a few in the past, but I think they are beneficial that people can put a name with a face and see each other, and especially if we work together. I think it does help working relationships.
I personally would like to thank you, gentlemen, all for coming, and ladies for coming over and being a part of this. I think you're going to answer questions that we need answered. You're going to give us information, because that corner is important to us, and it's important to our city that we do get a ground charge facility in that area. And your expertise is going to be tremendous for us. And it's, I think, with the combination of the two of us working together, I think it's going to be a great benefit for both of us.
And anytime you have questions or something, I'm pleased to come to the council. I've been there many times in the past, so happy to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, and I don't want to embarrass him, but I do want to thank Phil for also attending back here from CID.
Thanks, Nicole.
I think I'm actually very glad to see Phil here, because I think as we move forward into the future and environmental issues and environmental challenges, groundwater issues, I'm looking forward to seeing if eventually all of us will be in partnership mode like this and working together on projects all through the valley like this. So the more the merrier in terms of the people in the party. So thank you, Phil, for being here, and thank you again to the board for attending tonight.
I have just a question. Will we have another joint meeting down the road? Uh-huh. Or we can go over to the other house and they can feed us? Chris will get off that easy.
I thought you were trying to start doing it. You didn't know that was coming, did you?
We usually bring our own one.
I'm sure if we need one, we'll have one.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for coming. See you then.
We got.
1.5 million gallons in there.
I'm good.
We ran that well, like 2,500 gallons.
You guys have another one, huh?
You'll take all of it.
Young lady, it's been a pleasure.
That one, I was thinking, right on here. No, I'm just operating.
The only reason I said that is I don't know if it'd be others. I looked at it, I was already looking.
Did you get some meat? Did you get some meat?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Sylvia? Sylvia?
These tables?
Sylvia, do we need to break these down?
Yes.